every farm and stuff used out this year, well, most of them. Few farmers are only on the place. Yet. I can 10 or 15 farmers I know own the old police. Mm. Some of them still got it.
Mm, that's great.
And the inspiration came, I guess, per capita, the blacks. I guess Oconee County, the farm, old black farmers in Oconee County, wise with just, I guess, a higher percent of own their own place than with ranchers.
Oh, that's great. How about, so you were born in 1907.
Mm-hmm.
So you would probably remember the flu epidemic.
Oh, yeah. I had the flu in 1918.
Did you? So that, yeah, so you were right in there.
I wasn't in high school then. I was just a kid.
What do you remember about that?
Well, I don't remember too much about it because I was too young to know too much about it. But I had it. Nobody else in my family had it.
Really?
But the guy that worked for me for years here, when ever since the time I came until he died, until he retired first, he could tell me about it around here. Said it was really tough.
Really?
And the people, the thing about it is at that time you had no medicine that was any comfort. Mm-hmm. When I came out of school, we didn't have but one or two drugs that would do what we can do now. You had a heart medicine, digitalis, which you still use, was prevalent now. Quinine used for fever and malaria and stuff like that. But now, they don't use any of the other drugs that we use. We use a lot of herbs, and a lot of plants. And drugs were made for everything.
Let me ask you a question about that. You can still do that, I assume. With the plants and
oh yeah, things.
Well did you learn that in school?
But I mean, now you got so many things so many discoveries and stuff. See, when I came to Seneca, you didn't have anything for infection.
So what did they use? What did you use?
Treat the symptoms as best you can. You didn't have no sulfur drugs, you had no penicillin, you had no antibiotics back then.
So
we mixed most, we made most. I've made capsules all day long. You had aspirin, mm-hmm. you had finasterin, which mm-hmm. is the same as Tylenol.
Mm-hmm.
You had aspirin, you had Tylenol. You had some of the narcotics like codeine and morphine. Mm-hmm. That's pain relief, you could relieve the pain. But Nietzsche had to almost do all the other part of it.
And would you go out and get your own?
A person had pneumonia back then when I first started in the early years, in the 30s. You went there, what? You digitalized them, treat the heart so it wouldn't fail. You used poultice, tried to relieve congestion. You gave them these drugs, what I'm talking about, finasterin, aspirin, and those things. See, aspirin is good for fevers, and they had plenty of that. Uh-huh. You just load them up on that, and wait. Hope that nature will take care of itself and kill them.
Wow. How about World War I?
I don't know anything about that.
How about two? Anything?
Oh, I know. Well, no. I mean, I know they took everybody from all the young men. Everyone.
Both black and white.
Black and white, it didn't make no difference.
Okay.
Back then, everybody had to go. The bus station used to be right next door here. And every Monday, there's a bus load going to be. Because mama would be crying and,
oh, really?
And everything. But if you were over 18 years of age, you had to register. Everybody had to register. You either had to be too young or too old.
Hmm.
Even Dr. Sharp, he was, I guess, he's 45, 50 years old. He had to, everybody had to raise. But then they start taking them, and they would take them. I mean, the only way you could stay out was being that you didn't have a, well, I mean, they carried some that I figured was no way for them to do this, and they were caught up their health condition, but they took them.
Took them anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The only way you could get out was have something, have some specialties. Now, I had a friend, Augusta, who was a real estate dealer in insurance. He had his own real estate office and everything. And he went in the state 30 days, but they let him out because he did it. It was 1 year. I mean, you had to be 37 after you were over. They wouldn't take you over 37.
Over 37,
years.
Okay.
Yes. And he would have, next year, his birthday would have been 37. But they told him he had to go to the work in the defense plant, and he was originally from Boston. He went back to Boston working in the defense plant.
Hmm.
They let him out because, but now he couldn't stay there and run his own business. He finally sold that business.
Hmm.
Because he was from Boston. After he got up there, he decided he was going in business up there. He went into real estate business in Boston. But I can remember that. Now, they took everybody, you know, down the road. Some they took, I don't see how.
Well, that war is really something.
Oh, but that was something back then, ain't it? Boy, the crying, and I mean, young couples that were just starting families and stuff like that, they took them and everybody. Well, they passed me up because I was on the procurement and assignment, and we had a board of procurement and assignment, and as a pharmacist, they said I was more needed at home here at service.
That makes sense.
Well, that's what they do. They said that I wouldn't have to go. I didn't know it, though, but I made it. He called me to put me in class 1A. And I went to the chairman of the procurement and saw it. He said, you won't be able to join, so they can't send you unless they send your papers to me. And I'm not going to send you. He said, now, if you were in some community where they were overcrowded, and then at that time they made a distinction. I was a black pharmacist, which there weren't many in the anywhere.
So they looked at it like
they
that.
They looked
too.
At it. They didn't look at it. Now, there could have been 25 white pharmacists here.
Uh-huh.
And I was only black. I wouldn't have to go because I was black.
I see. So they were looking at it. They were taking care of the black community. In a sense, they were looking after them.
Yeah, that's what they figured.
No, that's great.
Now that's what happened personally to me. And I don't know but one doctor that was out in practice that went. And he got scared, or I don't know what. He just volunteered rather than be drafted because he wanted.
There we go. Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit about religion and.
Well, I consider the church as the greatest institution is, and it has done more for, I mean, the church has really held the black family together to a great extent, my estimation. Black belief in the church, black. They're drifting away more now than they did, but everybody back then, when I came here 50-some-odd years ago, everybody went to church on Sundays.
What denomination did your family belong
with? Methodist.
Methodist?
Oh, it had been on.
Do you remember who was the minister here in Seneca? When you first?
Oh, yeah, I know who he is, but I can't. C.R. Brown.
C.R. Brown?
Brown, yeah. He was He used to coach the football team up at Seneca Junior College. Well, he coached all the teams, both the football and basketball team at Seneca Junior College. And he was the pastor when I came.
Do you remember where he lived?
Where he lived?
Yes,
you
sir.
Mean here?
Yes, sir.
We all had a party right there, joining the church. The Methodist Church always had a parsonage. Now the Baptist Church did. But the Methodist Church has always had their pastor parsonage living right next to the church.
That's right.
And so he didn't have any other employment besides that?
No. Back then, you see, well, I don't know what the right thing because you got the thing on, but you see the black Methodist ministers had to be educators. You just can't be cold and free. Same thing now. Now, when I came here, you had a lot of fine Baptist preachers, but they weren't educated. They hadn't finished high school. You got plenty of them now aspiring to be a minister.
I understand.
But the church is really the really foundation. I think as far as progress for the Negro, the NAACP made more progress for the Negro, done more for the Negro than anything else. And the church and the NAACP, the church has been the backbone of the NAACP.
Let me ask you, this is just a personal question. The use of the word like Negro, colored, black. Now it's the African American. What do you think about that?
You don't say African German. I mean, you don't say German American, you know, or English American. Why would we say Afro American? We do the same thing. I heard, who was that? I heard it on the radio and television and stuff. Jesse Jackson is saying he ought to be called Afro-American. But I don't think so. We don't call them Italian-Americans. We call them American. The Americans after they've been over here.
That's true.
Don't see no need to call us Afro. No, I don't like, I don't. I'd like the name of black. Yeah, we black American. We black. Afro.
Was that hard to... because there's a lot of people that don't like black.
They always call you colored.
Yes.
Well, now in Africa, they got three grades in South Africa. You got the black, the colored, and English, the white.
Right.
Well, we were always called colored for years, and I went up into the application bank just last week on the Numa Farmers' License. They got on there. White, black, Hispanic, or whatever like that. But we always call ourselves colored.
Okay. So the change from black to color.
They changed it from colored to black.
To black. What? How was that? Because
I think it is the fact that they don't teach much black history. And we have done a lot as blacks.
Yes, sir, that's true.
And at the same time, I think it's nice to let the younger folks come up have a feeling that I'm black. And I got a history behind it, too.
I agree, 100%.
I know a good bit of history and this thing and that thing. Black history is really something. Really, but every now and then I get a calendar or something with a whole lot of blacks in there that have done things that I even hadn't heard about. You heard a few of them, like George Washington Carver and
the man naturally.
I've talked with him personally.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, and so he used to come to Avery every year. I'll sit down and talk to George Washington Carver just like I talk to you. That tells you.
Don't tell. I can't believe that. Well,
that's in 1926, 26, when I was in college at Eve. I went down there 2-3 times with the football team. And I've been in this laboratory down there and talked with him just like that. So,
I can't believe that.
Well, I wouldn't tell you
that. I know you wouldn't, but it's just so...
He came to Eve when I was in high school. Came to NC 2 days when I was in high school.
Oh, you're making my heart stop.
You know, I it was a man at Sampson. He wanted to write a book on, my experiences and stuff like that. He came over here. He's not with Sampson anymore. We got 2-3 more over there. Suggs over there. He's, you know, Suggs.
No,
that guy, PhD in history.
I think his name is mentioned in the.
That's right. So he's supposed to be behind this thing to a great extent. He goes to Methodist Church up here. So, and he's been wanting me. Well, Dr. Earl Battle, I got one. He's back there at hell. Been back there for 2 years, 2-3 years. He want, every other day, he want me to, when he when something come up tonight, he want me to go back to the teacher.
That's so interesting. I've got to go on.
Well, anything you want to know that I know, I'll be there to do it.
What? Okay, they had the Methodist Church and they had the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
But did they work together in community affairs and?
Not much back then, but they do now. I don't know. It seemed like the. Well, I mean, it was a kind of animosity.
Oh, okay.
Against them. And some of the rules and regulations they had in the Baptist Church, said they didn't have in the Methodist Church. The difference is because the Baptists had some all kinds of little rules and regulations about dancing. Methodist Church could always dance a bit. Baptist Church, you dance to put you out. and so many other things that little petty things that are being done. They had nothing to do with really the church ain't got it. Didn't have actually back there then, but I mean, church is the only thing that's disciplined here, yes.
How about the cemeteries?
Well, they all, I mean, here they've always had sick. Well, they had a, I don't know. The churches used to support it. Got Bible Sojourn Cemetery over there. It's pretty nice.
Is it?
Well, I kept now because Bill Addison, who's the undertaker here, he managed it for a long time. And the churches would keep it, they'd keep it looking good. But it's right here in town, I mean, it's door.
Okay.
We got 2 cemeteries, well, that cemetery over here and the white cemetery over here.
Okay.
But now they're still burying and needing a lot, and they still got a lot of ridiculous to the city. He turned it over to the city, and the city really keeps it up.
Okay.
The churches don't keep it up anymore. The city keeps it up. And they really keep it up. They mow that grass and clean it up. It's
really looking good. Really good.
It doesn't look like a lot of cemeteries look.
Right.
And the city has that. Then we have a private cemetery down here for black Dr. Thomas bought that land that I lived, bought the place from. White guy, he still wanted to start a cemetery, and he bought it. It's down there. I guess they bury in both places, but it isn't kept up as well as it should be.
How about
all the country churches, they got their cemetery. Most of the country churches. got the cemetery connected with them all.
Okay.
Sometimes when two churches are close together, they have one cemetery, like over there in Clemson. Golden View doesn't have any cemetery, but the one right up there by Little John's, what's it called? Abel, they have a big cemetery. And all the Golden View people buried up there.
How about camp meetings?
Well, they used to have them. They played out, but they used to have words of camp meeting. I can remember, I think it's the second Sunday in September, Bethel Grove, a little Methodist church down here. It's no more because the airport bought the property. They expand. Bethel Grove, on that second Sunday in September, they had camp meeting down there. It was both like a circus.
Oh, was it really?
You know, thousands of people drowned there, but the church couldn't hold. They didn't go to church. They just go down there to socialize.
How long did that usually last?
One day.
One day. And a lot of people, they came
They just came from everywhere. Folks would move up north and stuff like that. They come back to camp.
Where would they stay?
One thing about you could. All your friends and everybody and your whole family and everybody would be down there on that.
Oh boy, I bet that was a great time.
Oh man, it was something. Sometimes you couldn't get parking space for a mile. You had to walk a mile to get some parking.
Well, that's another question. What about transportation?
When I first came here, it was nothing but buggies and horses and mules and wagons. But few had cars.
Now
you had pretty good transportation because railroads, you had the Blue Ridge Railroad here, and it stopped at every little crossroad from here to Belton. And man, all down these people living down here, they just pull off, stop there, had little stations. From here to Clemson, there used to be, let me see. It used to be one, Cherries, Adams, the train stopped four times between here and Clemson.
And Clemson.
That's right.
Oh my goodness.
That's the Blue Ridge now. You know the old mill, the mill down here. You know what? That trestle down there. It still runs. They still use it.
Okay.
But they had passenger trains run. And the Southern Railroad, this is the main line of Southern Railroad through here. When I first came here, they had a passenger train either going north or south every 2 hours. A passenger train.
How?
And that's where they made transportation. Then the bus started running. Now we don't even have a... We don't have a train stop and don't have even a bus station.
Well, when did the buses come?
You can't get a bus in Clemson. You can get a bus in Anderson, but you can't get a bus.
Well, at one time, could you get one?
Oh, in Seneca? Well, you used to have plenty of buses here. But that building right there was built for the bus station.
Where?
The second building there.
Right here?
With the magistrate office. See, that's the big sign of the magistrate. That was built for the bus station.
That was the bus station?
That's what the bus station. You know what I mean? It stayed crowded. That was the bus station, right there. That was built for the bus station.
I can see how it looks like it could be.
It was built for the bus station. And we had bus transportation, everything was fine back then. We don't have any of it now. Because everybody got cars.
Yeah, that's true.
Every family got one, two, three, or four cars. If there are three boys in that family and mom and dad, they got four cars.
That is true.
You know what I mean? You don't have to end all these kids going to high school. Good God. Out here at the high school, they got a parking lot about maybe from here to the other end of town. Yet still they can't hold the traffic, hold the car. And then they got the buses bringing the whole, think that's one thing to... Ruining kids.
Cars. I have to agree with that one, too.
Oh, I mean, Al Gaines right over here, he's principal of the middle school over here. Used to be the junior high, but I mean, when he moved over, they would call it middle school. He got 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And he got 2 kids and his wife, and they got 5 cars. He got 4 cars and a van. Dr. Martin down here, he got 2 boys and a girl. They got 5 cars. And not only them, I mean, I'm just thinking, but I mean, it's, I just yes. happen to know. But right around here, you got families of 4 kids in that family, and mom and daddy, they got 3 or 4 cars.
Right. You are right.
Mm. And he don't have pizza cars, he got good cars, too.
Oh, okay. How about singing conventions?
They used to have a lot of that back then, but they're playing out. Gospel singing is still doing good. Gospel groups. But when I came here, they used to have a note singing convention, and then they had a gospel convention. Oh, man, it should be big singing back then. All the churches from everywhere.
Everybody.
Man, they put it on, start around 1 o'clock and then go to 5 or 6 o'clock.
Oh, boy. Morning.
And everybody competing against each other.
I'll bet that was something.
That used to be something. And then you used to have that note saying, and they competed. And then, that was it. Then you got start getting these quartets, which I can't stand with all this boom, boom, boom. They ain't singing it.
How about do you remember, have a favorite song from, you know?
No, I never was musically inclined.
Never.
Can't sing black notes. Now when I went to Avery had a beautiful choir. Had I guess one of the best choirs anywhere in the country.
Avery?
Avery and Charles. Private school. Mm-hmm. American Missionary Association school. With Mr. Cox, who was the principal, he used to train the choir. He was good in music, he finished 5th. He used to sing with 5th singers.
Mm-hmm.
And he believed in music, but heck, he tell me, you just can't sing at all. I can't hardly whistle a tune. I don't know why, but that's just one of my shortcomings. I just don't, music ain't. I tried. I had a friend when I was in college played saxophone. And heck, he tried to teach me how to play saxophone. I when I was at Avery, we had a band in music around here too, taught drumming. He used to have a xylophone and drums in it. I couldn't even beat drums. So I just can't keep a tune. I don't know what.
Were there any times when the blacks and whites ever went to the same church, or was you know any type of?
No, not black. Sometime, in some occasions, back then, well, we got it now here now. They got a ministerial union. I mean, ministerial association here. Blacks belong to it like the whites, and I mean we have special service on Thanksgiving and around Christmas, and my pastor. He preached the Thanksgiving sermon at the White Presbyterian Church here, Thanksgiving morning, or Thanksgiving evening, I don't remember what it is. But they have seemed to have a pretty nice relationship. I mean, with those around here, well, the Baptist, the White Baptist, the same thing, but the churches here have well-trained ministers, the Baptist churches in town. But we used to have most country white bad Baptists. Shame before the guy to be preaching in the church when he didn't.
I understand.
But they've had pretty good relations. I mean, with the Methodist Church here and the Methodist Church in Walhall and Westminster and the pastors and the whites. See, now our church is United Methodist. I mean, it's not supposed to be segregated, but we got a big white Methodist church here and the black church. Mm-hmm. I thought one time they were going to make us
one
church. I still think they're going to do it.
It'll come. Okay, the next one is education. Some of these questions on this one we've already talked about, but we'll, if you don't mind, I'll go over them.
Education, I think this town has produced more educated people than any town I know anywhere in
the world. The way it sounds, it really has.
It has produced more educated people, and that's why I say all this I'm saying, the good things about the town, I like to. The fact that they had a junior college here, that was an inspiration. And the people took advantage of it. I mean, they couldn't accommodate the amount of applicants they had trying to get in school.
They couldn't?
No.
How,
But I mean, the thing about it, they didn't have any money.
Who built it? Who built the...
The Baptist Association.
Okay, they...
Seneca River Baptist Association.
From ground up?
From ground up. They started off as an institution. I can say this, when I came here, Seneca had a good black high school called Oconee County Training School that all the blacks in high school went there to school.